back at it again, man. Another one.
Yeah, we're just relentless.
I haven't
seen my wife in a week.
we haven't had the crowd I expected. I thought if we just kept doing this, that people would just be piling up around,
I know,
huddling around, wanting to hear what we had to say.
We hired a security guard, but man, yeah.
But he's off duty now. Yeah, he's out.
He's gone. He's gone.
Yeah. So all right. So we're in the coffee shop, Informal Informants.
Yeah.
This is it stemmed from a listener or an infantry request,
yeah,
right? And we thought it would be interesting and helpful to have a discussion on annihilationism.
Okay.
Yeah. Did I say that right?
You did.
Annihilationism.
Yeah, yeah, that was good. Sometimes I want to say annihilationalism.
Yeah, I sometimes butcher that up just like that. So, okay, what is annihilationism? And what are the claims that come with that? So we're going to reject it just offhand.
Yeah,
I'll go ahead and say we're going to say no, but to understand what it is and what that position holds and then why we reject it.
Yeah, the position holds that once an unbeliever dies, that they go out of existence, basically. In other words, annihilationism rejects an eternal hell and affirms, well, you just go out of existence when you die,
mm-hmm,
right? Christians go to heaven, okay, yeah, we're fine with that, but unbelievers, those who reject Jesus Christ, they do not face eternal torment, they do not face eternal pain in hell, they just simply don't exist anymore.
Right, they are annihilated.
Yeah, they're annihilated, yeah.
That's what, death is the end of existence. Now, there are some other versions of annihilationism which might suggest that there is temporary punishment,
okay,
but that hell is not eternal, so that at the consummation, at the end, when God binds Satan, and that eventually the lake of fire is swallowed up and there is no more.
Yeah.
Like, there's new heaven, new earth, but there's not new hell, so to
speak.
So that even if there is a continuation and afterlife of hell, it's not eternal.
Right.
That's the key.
Yeah.
The key is that eventually, whether it's at the point of death or whether it's at the end when God puts all things right, that the sinner or the one who has rebelled is annihilated.
Yeah.
Right?
They just cease to exist, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know any other way to say cease to exist.
Right.
Yeah, they're just
stop.
No longer
they're,
there.
Right. Okay. Why is that position, why is that tenable, or why is that popular? Why would somebody hold that position?
Yeah, well, I think one, that gives some sort of a way out,
mm-hmm,
of facing the wrath and the judgment of God.
Mm-hmm.
That opens up the door for me to continue in my own sin and in my own ways, because I'm really not going to face any type of eternal consequence or eternal punishment.
Right.
I just won't exist anymore. Therefore, you know,
right,
what I
so
do
it won't
here,
matter.
Yeah.
I've even heard, kind of tongue in cheek, but I think somewhat serious, from solid Christians who have said, I think I'm an annihilationist now, because, like I said, kind of tongue in cheek, but to say, it's more comforting for me because I have lost friends, I have lost loved ones, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I might want to believe this because the thought of watching somebody I love and care deeply about who openly rejects the gospel I share with them, to think, I don't want them to suffer eternally. And so maybe I can make a biblical case for annihilationism.
Right.
And
I think there's a couple texts, Daniel 2,
mm-hmm,
I think we looked at one beforehand that, I mean, again, back to the hermeneutical gymnastics, right? I think there's another one in the Gospels that talks about eternal destruction, and they try and twist that word destruction there, meaning annihilation,
mm-hmm,
out of existence.
Yeah, been destroyed to where there's no maintenance or existence beyond that point.
Right, but that's not what the totality of Scripture teaches, the analogy of faith that we've talked about. There are just too many references, Old and New Testament, that talk about what the sinner will face because of their rejection of God.
Right, and so I would even... so yes, there's a biblical argument to be made in terms of, let's look at chapter and verse and find these cases, right? But I would say that there's an even stronger theological argument to be made from other doctrines. So many times, the annihilationist would argue that God, it's incompatible to have an eternal suffering with a eternal, benevolent, loving God.
Right.
Right. Okay. Like a hell can't exist. So the idea is God is love. So how can an all-loving God eternally, like trying to wrap your mind around eternality, but forever punish a sinful person in the most excruciating and intense agony imaginable?
Right.
Like, how could a loving God do that? So they're making a theological case and appealing to the attributes of God to say this can't exist.
Yeah, I would say it's just not a good theological case because you're isolating an attribute of God.
That's exactly. Okay, so what other attribute of God or attributes of God would need to be included in this to have a full picture?
Yeah, we have to talk about God's holiness. You have to talk about God's wrath and his justice and righteousness. Again, there can't just be an isolation of attributes. That's not a fair representation of God. So if you take God as the whole pie, right? Mm-hmm. Not just one piece of the pie. You've got to take God and all of his attributes. Then you can't get rid of the one that deals with eternal justice.
Right, right. And so, and then the other comment I would make on this is from a theological standpoint, when you have a sin that is committed against an eternal God, right? There is necessarily eternal restitution that must be paid.
Yeah, look, if I sin against you or I sin against a government authority, the president, I'm going to receive a greater punishment because I've sinned against someone that's in a higher position or authority.
A higher entity.
Right? Sure.
Right, right. If you steal from me, yeah, you might get a knuckle sandwich,
I'll get a
beat down.
I'll get a beat down, that's for sure.
Right, but if you steal from the IRS, that's a different deal.
Now we're talking about
the eternal God. And so an eternal, because what we forget is that God is not existing in space or time. And so a sin that occurs in our moment of time now has occurred against an eternal God. And so that sin is always present. And the only way that it can be paid is if the wrath of God is poured out upon it because of his holiness. So if the blood of Christ does not cover that sin, which we would reject universalism, so we would say that that doesn't cover, then that punishment must be paid for eternally.
Yeah.
It can't just cease, because if it does, if that person ceases to exist, the sin is still there.
Right.
And the sin is always there as a mark against God. That's why an eternal being on the cross, that's why Christ has to be eternal, to cover the eternal sin that we have committed against God.
Yeah.
Because God is not bound by time.
Yeah.
So
here we go again, how a rejection of one truth or rejection of one doctrine bleeds into other aspects of the gospel. Eternal punishment is part of the gospel. It is part of Christianity. It's part of the scripture.
And it has to be because of what you just mentioned, these other doctrines that help us to see, and they have to be consistent with one another. They can't contradict one another. And so we see that because God is eternal, because God is just, because he is holy, he is not able to just merely wipe off of the planet, wipe out of existence, and just forget about it. God can't forget in those senses. So annihilationism, it might sound appealing, but it's not biblical, and we must reject it.
I mean, to conclude, and we didn't even touch into this, I mean, Jesus talks about hell more than anybody,
right?
You just read the New Testament, and clearly...
And it's an eternal hell.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way of reading it without feeling like you're twisting it to say it's not.
Sure.
You know, it's a straightforward reading.
Yeah.
Suffer forever. Eternal gnashing of teeth, right? It's God is going to pour out his wrath forever upon those who reject, which makes the gospel that much sweeter.
Yeah.